Why don't I just start by praying and asking God's blessing on this time. Father, we come before you. Thank you that you're here. We thank you that you are the one who leads us and guides us. You invite us to follow you. So we ask your blessing on this time. Help us to hear from you, from your word. Teach us. Be lifted up in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, let me just start real quickly by saying thank you for those of you that were praying for me as I was gone for almost 2 weeks in Europe. It was a great time. Just a quick update there. Great time with our missionary and staff family there in Croatia as we gathered together for a time of encouraging them as they serve across that continent. So it was a very good time with many that you know. And so I was glad to be able to be there with them. And then with Dom and his family there in Pamplona, Spain. That was the first time I had visited their church and what God's doing there. And that was super encouraging to see that and to be with them and be able to speak a little bit into that church family there. One encouraging thing out of several things that happened. One of the evenings we went out for sharing the gospel with them, something that they do on a regular basis as a church. They're right in the heart of the city, in a neighborhood there. And Dom and I said, we got about 20 minutes before we got to start, and you got to speak. And so it was a Wednesday evening. And so we walked across the street, and the first person we saw, we were going to do a survey with, and a guy from Colombia. Dom is blabbing away in Spanish. I'm just acting like I know what I'm doing and praying for them as they're sharing. And at the end of the survey, there was asking about things, interests people have in the area. One of the things, are you interested in spiritual things? And the guy said yes. And Dom said, oh, I saw that you said you were interested in spiritual things. Are you, would you like to hear more? And the guy said, yeah. And he asked, well, where's your church? And Dom said, oh, it's right here across the street. Literally, it's right there. That's where we meet. Anyway, Dom shared the gospel. Next thing I know, Dom's praying with this guy. And then this guy's praying, and then they're sharing more, and Dom got to lead this guy from Colombia, of all places, to Christ. And that was pretty neat to be able to be there and see that take place. So very encouraging time with the saints there. So thank you for praying. All right, let's jump into our command this morning. As we're going through the commands of Christ, this one is a uniquely challenging one. Not that any of them are easy, because Christ raises the standard high. He is the standard. And he calls us today in several passages in the gospel, Matthew and Mark and Luke. This morning we're going to look at the one in Luke, to follow him. So this is Luke chapter 9. We have it up on the screen, a few verses. And he, Jesus, said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed, when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. This is the word of the Lord. Now, obviously, because our time is shorter this morning, we do not have time to unpack, unfortunately, this whole section of Scripture that Christ is speaking. So we're not going to be able to get into the ending part of it. It's interesting, and as many questions that it brings up. Well, what is he talking about? Coming in glory and angels and kingdom of God and tasting death. There are some answers to that, but this morning what we're going to do is we're going to focus on the first part of what Christ is saying. When he says, if anyone come after me, then deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You know, if you follow sports in any way, you know that there's rules for playing sports, okay? Can't be doping, you know, there's anti-doping rules. See that in gymnastics. You see that these, if you might think back to girls that have worked so hard, and then they discover, they had something, some substance in them that gave them a little bit of an edge, a little more power. Or you have great bikers who bike across countries and are amazing athletes, and you find out, they cheated a little bit. And they were disqualified. They worked so hard, but they were disqualified. They spent their whole life striving to be the best, and they were incredible individuals, incredible in their area of expertise in their sport, but they were disqualified because they did not follow the rules. Now, Christ here is giving a command, actually several different commands. We're focusing on the big one. He says, follow me, but within that command, there's also some other commands that he is giving, some things he's calling us to. So let's look at this quickly. In verse 24, he says, if anyone, it's important that word if anyone, the invitation is to all people. You want to follow me? You can follow me, Christ is saying. I am the greatest treasure. I am all that your heart desires and wants and needs. If anyone. But in that word, if, it's implying there's not a given that everyone and anyone will follow Jesus. If anyone is up to this and wants to follow me, would come after me. If anyone would come after me. If anyone's desiring to follow me, then he must do this. Let him, three things, deny himself, take up his cross daily, and then follow me. Deny himself, take up his cross daily, follow me. That first one, deny himself. Self-denial is so countercultural, isn't it? At least it's for me. That's just contrary to me. Self-denial. Deny myself? What? It's countercultural. What is the norm is self-love, self-care. It's all about me. Me, me, me. In the ESV Study Bible, there's an interesting note. He says that on this, when Jesus is saying, come after me, he's saying, come, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to follow me, you want to imitate me, then the requirement for someone who wants to be a disciple is that he must deny himself. And that's not simply denying certain things, but denying personal control of one's life. It's not just giving up certain things, it's giving up complete control of one's life. The second thing that Jesus says is that you must take up your cross daily. Jesus, what are you saying? Do you know, Jesus, I mean, you imagine the disciples are there. Does he know what the cross, like that's what instrument that is? All the pictures, the images, they knew very well what the cross was, that method of torture and of death. When Jesus says, take up your cross, it's calling us and calling his disciples to make a commitment that will lead, it will lead to rejection and possibly even death. And when he says, follow me, obviously he's saying, follow my teachings, follow my example, be like me, imitate me. Also, the people that Jesus was talking to there, obviously, it meant as well joining the company of his disciples who traveled in ministry with Jesus around Palestine. Now let's unpack those three things. Deny himself, take up your cross, and follow Christ. Here's a reality, though. The reality is to quote Calvin Miller, that many people back off when they encounter their first taste of the cost of discipleship. You see, when they come to suspect that the cost of living in Christ is dying to self, they may reach for their rights rather than embrace the cross. He goes on, he says, in a culture that feeds our natural fleshly aspirations through the promotion of self-realization, self-actualization, self-fulfillment, and self-esteem, the biblical principle of self-denial sounds very unappealing. The idea that we forfeited our rights when we came to Jesus and that life is all about Him and not about us really does not sit well in a world that values temporal assets above eternal goods. Think about the rich young ruler in the scriptures. Remember that story? There's a rich young man, and he comes to Jesus and wants to follow Jesus. Jesus invites him to follow. And the invitation from Jesus was to come and follow. But remember in that story, Jesus touched what his heart worshipped and told him to give it all up. Said, okay, you want to follow me? You need to go, and I want you to get rid of everything. Follow me. Remember the reaction? Boy, he was excited. He's like, yes, this is what we're going to do. Make an itemized list. We're going to sell it all. I know. He was very sad. He was grieved. Give it all up, Jesus? He couldn't do it. Jesus touched what his heart worshipped. The issue there wasn't that he had tons of money. The issue was that what he worshipped was what he had. Couldn't do it. For us, what is the thing that would make you extremely sad if Jesus asked you to give it up? If Jesus asked you to deny that? Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote a book called The Cost of Discipleship. And when he talks about Christ calling us to take up our cross and what that means. He says this. He says, the cross is laid on every Christian. The first Christ suffering which every man must experience is the call to abandon the attachments of this world. It is that dying of the old man which is the result of his encounter with Christ. As we embark upon discipleship, we surrender ourselves to Christ in union with his death. We give over our lives to death. And thus it begins. The cross is not the terrible end to an otherwise God-fearing and happy life, but it meets us at the beginning of our communion with Christ. When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. You see, it may be a death like that of the first disciples who had to leave home and work to follow him. Or it may be a death like Luther's who had to leave the monastery and go out into the world. But it is the same death every time. Death in Jesus Christ. The death of the old man at his call. Jesus' summons to the rich young man was calling him to die. Because only the man who is dead to his own will can follow Christ. In fact, every command of Jesus is a call to die with all our affections and lusts. But we do not want to die. And therefore, Jesus Christ and his call are necessarily our death as well as our life. The call to discipleship, the baptism in the name of Jesus Christ means both death and life. Do you see that? We can only live if we die. You can only experience life if you experience death, death to self. Think about this for just a moment. When we think about self-denial, denying self, dying to self, there are two paths that we can think of. One is the path of denying sin. That's pretty obvious. Black and white. Bible says this is sin. This is not sin. This is wrong. This is right. Denying sin. But that can be confusing sometimes because sin is sometimes very pleasurable. Think of Moses. It says in the scripture that he chose to suffer with the people of Israel rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So sin has a pleasure, but it's always for a season, and then it brings death and destruction and consequences. So we must say no to sin. We must deny sin. There's a saying, no to self, to sin, sinful things, taking up our cross, death to sin, and temporal pleasure. But there's also one that gets a little more maybe fuzzy in our minds, and that's denying self-desires that are not inherently sinful. Think of Philippians. The writer there says that, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. And he took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death of the cross. Jesus said, you want to be the greatest, you must be the servant of all. You must serve. You must become lowly. Self, denying self sometimes means denying things that aren't inherently sinful, but it's for a greater good. It's for the glory of Christ and for the good of other people. Amy Patrick is a speaker and a writer, and she was writing about this. I found it interesting because her point, she was saying this. She said, and it helps us understand this point a little bit. She said, quote, I avoided self-care because it looked dangerously close to self-indulgence. But avoiding self-care actually fed my sinful appetite to live self-sufficiently and to seek fulfillment in my own abilities. It may seem backward to say that avoiding self-care was actually self-indulgent, but it was for me. As I struggled with thinking that my accomplishments defined me, God taught me that self-denial for me meant stopping to rest. This lesson felt counterintuitive. But just because something looks like self-denial on the surface doesn't mean it actually is. You see that for her? Self-denial is actually stopping to rest. Ask yourself this question. How do you live for yourself? How do you live for yourself? Because self takes a lot of different shapes. And it wears 1,000 different disguises. C.S. Lewis, in his book Mere Christianity, he said, your real self, new self, which is Christ's and also yours, and yours just because it is his, will not come as long as you are looking for it. It will come when you are looking for him. What are you looking for? What are you trusting in? What are you wrestling with? Calvin Miller said that the better we know him, the more we want to obey him. And the more we obey him, the better we will know him. Everything hinges on what we trust. If we trust our own wisdom, our hands are too full of ourselves to receive the gifts of God. When we empty our hands of self-reliance, self-righteousness, self-pity, and other self-sins, they will be empty enough to receive the life of Christ in us and display his life to others. Christ calls us to come and follow me. Come and follow me. If you want to follow me, you must deny yourself. Take up your cross.
and follow me. Let me lead you.
Because it is futile, Jesus says, he goes on. It is futile to try to save your life, to try to build your own kingdom. Because it's like a sandcastle. You build on the beach, the water comes, and it's all gone. To continue what Lewis said in that quote that I just mentioned a minute ago, he asked the question about that. He said, does that sound strange to you? Does that sound strange? He said, the same principle holds, you know, for more everyday matters. Even in social life, you will never make a good impression on other people until you stop thinking about what sort of impression you are making. Even in literature, in art, no man who bothers about originality will ever be original. Whereas if you simply try to tell the truth without caring two pence, how often it has been told before, you will, 9 times out of 10, become original without ever having noticed it. You see, that principle runs through all of life from top to bottom. Give up yourself and you will find your real self. Lose your life and you will save it. Submit to death, death of your ambitions and favorite wishes every day, and death of your whole body in the end. Submit with every fiber of your being, and you will find eternal life. He goes on, keep back nothing, he says. Keep back nothing. Nothing that you have not given away will be really yours. Nothing in you that has not died will ever be raised from the dead. Look for yourself, and you will find in the long run only hatred, loneliness, despair, rage, ruin, and decay. But look for Christ, and you will follow him. You will find him. And with him, everything else thrown in. What an amazing call that Christ gives to us. Follow me. Oh, bring nothing with you. And it's not a one-time thing. It's today and tomorrow and the next day. We die to self. We die to self. Full and complete surrender. Christ, everything I give to you. I hold on to nothing. This is so hard to do, but I know you're good and I trust you. I know you're good and I trust you. You see, Jesus, he has gone before us. He has lived the life you and I could never live. And he died the death you and I could never die. And he rose to life, making it possible for you and I to live the life we really want to live. He made it possible because of his death, burial, and resurrection to be able to follow him. He made it possible because of his death, burial, and resurrection to be able to deny ourselves, to be able to take up our cross every day and to follow him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, your love. We thank you for this call that you've given to us. It's a high calling. Lord, we ask for your help. We confess we cannot. We cannot do this on our own, but it's your strength. Help us to follow you every day, knowing that this is the way, the best way, the way of life, the way of truth, the way of beauty. We thank you, Jesus. Amen.